things a lot. How long have I known you? Maybe I was like 4 or 5 years old when I started coming over. You've been a great friend, and he was also close friends with my dad, which is how I'm going to open up. I'm Jeff Clark's son. My name is John Clark. We're over from Sumner. And a lot of the things we're going to look at today, my dad helped teach me, so that's a blessing. And we're actually going to open up with one of his analogies. And don't worry, I'm not about to start preaching on UFOs existing. But if you'll meditate with me for just 1 second, let's just say that one of these things does land next week. And it's on every single news channel that there is. And we're thinking, what's the deal? Are they going to attack? What's going on? And they come out of there, and they say, yeah, we're years in front of you. You got this okay, and you got that okay. But we actually do have the secret to life and to happiness, in case you wanted it. If that happened, how much would that be worth? Could you put a price tag on that? How much would you pay for the secret to life and to happiness? Well, guess what? You do have the secret to life and to happiness. It's right here. The difference is that God gave it to you, not an alien, and that it didn't cost you a fortune. Well, what a shame that all too often we don't read it as much as we should. So today, let's change that. Let's open it up. Let's take a look. Our first question is, who in here deals with anxiety? Just about all of us, probably, right? And with the last year going on with COVID-19, does it seem like everyone's a little bit more anxious than usual? I had a funny story. I went to see my doctor, and about a week later, I bumped into him again, delivering some food, and said, hey, man, how you doing? A week later, I get a call, and it's the doctor. And he says, hey, John, why were you parked at my house? And inside, I'm thinking, okay, nice. He thinks I'm stalking him. I'm like, hey, man, you can take me out of your system. I wouldn't have the first clue of how to stalk somebody. 100% coincidence. You know, I deliver a lot of food. Then he laughed and said, well, that's fine. I went into a Subway the other day, and he told me, we're out of this certain item that your guest wants. Could you call them and let them know? And I said, you could talk to them on my phone if you want to. And you should have seen the look he gave me when I offered him my phone. He was terrified. We used to deal with major anxiety when we were younger. You know, I'd go into a theater, I'd hear about whatever new disease was going around, I'd go home and I'd think about it until I got sick. And when it came time to stay at a friend's house to stay the night, you know, I'd cry and want to go home at night. Just ask Roger and Teresa back there. And so you ask the question, why is everybody so scared and so paranoid? That's a big question, isn't it? Well, let's take a look in Matthew chapter 14 here to help us answer this question. Matthew 14, verse 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. What a sight that would have been. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. So they're in the ship, and they see something coming towards them on top of the water. And they're going, what is that thing? Is that a ghost? But straight away, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. How exciting would that have been when, okay, this is not a ghost, this is Jesus walking towards us on the water. And Peter's so excited, what does Peter say? Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus says one word in response. Jesus says, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So let's say down two steps is water, and I'm in the boat, and maybe Jesus is about where the back wall is. And Jesus tells me, come. And I'm going, okay. And Peter puts his foot on the water, and Peter starts walking on the water towards Jesus. Can you imagine what that would have been like? But what happens to Peter? He takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he sees the waves, and he gets scared, and who can relate to this? The waves of COVID-19, the waves of cancer. This is me every single day, isn't it? And we answer the question, why are we afraid? It's because we take our eyes off of Jesus. And what does Jesus do when we're sinking in fear or in sin? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, your dad is teaching you how to swim when you're really young and you don't know how. And he says, jump in. And you go, no, I'm scared. And you don't. And then finally, you muster up the courage. And what happens? Your dad catches you. And he looks at you with a smile and he says, why were you afraid? You knew I was going to catch you. It's the same idea here. What percent of the time when we're sinking in fear or in sin, is Jesus right there to catch us? 100% of the time. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. They that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of the truth, thou art the Son of God. I would have really liked to have been there. I always remember what my dad said about this picture. You notice his face, how he's smiling. My dad goes, he's not mad that you failed, but he's happy that you tried. You know, far too often I do hear people getting on Peter for sinking, but let me ask you the question. Did Peter make it further than the other disciples? He did. Alrighty, if you have your Bibles, we'll take a look at Philippians 4 and verse 6, one of my very favorite verses. And it says, be anxious only when the doctor gives you news that you don't want to hear. Be anxious only if you have a loved one in the hospital. What does the text say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. My dad helped teach me that thanksgiving is a huge key to being happy. There are people on the planet who have it worse than you do, but they're happier because they're circling everything good in their life and not everything bad. Or you could say, thank you, Father, for the situation because this is going to help get my mind closer to you. Or thank you, Father, that my situation is not worse than it is because this situation could be worse. And let your requests be made known to God. So you have a giant weight that you can't lift on your own. And when you make your request to God, you're passing that weight to him because it's too much for you to carry. And then what happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, Albert Einstein's going to try and figure it out, and he's not going to be able to, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is really cool for my family because we've experienced this with my dad's situation. He passed away from cancer in 2019. He was the best friend I've ever had. And I was not sure if I was going to lose it when he passed away. I'm going to be honest with you guys. We were that close. I was going, how am I going to get through this? But what happened? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, was with me and my family. So another question, if Jesus walked in that door, who would want his advice on whether to be afraid? I would. Wouldn't that be special? But hold on. We have the red letters right here. Jesus says, but behold the fowls of the air. Talking about when you're afraid, when you're worrying. Maybe you do have cancer. Maybe you do have COVID. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they are? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Which of you by worrying is going to change the outcome? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? O ye of little faith, this is the second time that this will be mentioned in our sermon. When you're afraid, God says, why are you afraid, O ye of little faith? Faith is a big part of not being afraid, and we're going to look at that in just a little bit. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So how many times in your life did you think you were not okay, but you ended up being okay? Well, you're here. You look pretty good to me. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if you put God first, all these things are going to line up. But if you put God second, that's when you're in trouble. When we were young, we had lots of anxiety attacks. And my mom back there would tell me, go and read Psalms 91, John. Another one of my favorites, if you want even more reasons not to be afraid. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid by the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. We got sent these pictures I don't know how well you can see that. There's a little bit of glare. But isn't it kind of crazy when a tree falls on your house or your car? And what's even crazier is we know who this happened to. This happened to my cousin. And you can see a tree because there's a hole in the roof on that picture on the left. And the picture on the right, under all that rubble, is one of the beds for their 14-year-old son, Roman. Under all that rubble right there. And so maybe you instantly ask the question to yourself, was he in the bed when that happened? Unfortunately, the 14-year-old son, Roman, was in the bed when the roof caved in. But God was with him, and he wasn't even scratched. Roman's in perfect health today. Just texted him last night. You see, this giant tree comes in, and his dad, Justin, said if that had been just a little bit over to the left, that would have killed his son, Roman. So when it happened, I texted Roman. I said, hey, are you okay, man? It's a bit funny. He's really chill, so he just responds, yeah, I'm good. It's a kind of a weird way to wake up. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Does God protect you from danger? So talking a little bit about faith, does Jesus say, go and pray for faith the size of the Grand Canyon? No, he says, if you have faith the size of this seed, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing will be impossible to you. We have a really cool story that goes along with this. This is one of my Aunt Sandy's favorite verses. My mom's sister back there. And her mountain was Marfan syndrome she gets diagnosed with. And she also deals with major amounts of anxiety. And she gets the diagnosis of Marfan syndrome, and this is a mountain in front of her. And my mom has a dream back there, and her mom is in heaven, and this verse is brought up, have faith like the grain of a mustard seed. And she tells her sister Sandy about this dream, and Sandy goes, God gave you that dream for me. That's what I've needed. If you talk to my Aunt Sandy today, she'll tell you that Marfan syndrome was her golden ticket to heaven, that it got her mind right. A lot of the times we do get the diagnosis and we say, is God picking on me? But no, he's just putting you through what's best for you. So a couple quick examples of faith. A lot of you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar makes a golden image. This is in Daniel chapter 3. And he says, if you guys don't bow down, we're going to burn you alive. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we're not going to bow down. Our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down. So you talk about anxiety and how to counter it. So let's just say that a president says, if you guys don't pray to my idol, we're going to burn you guys alive. Would that be scary? And they overcome it with faith and they say, our God will protect us. And Daniel chapter 3 says that the furnace was so hot that the men who opened the doors to the furnace died because the furnace was that hot. And they throw them in, and Nebuchadnezzar says, wait a minute. Didn't we throw three guys into the fire? Why are there four in there? And the fourth one is like the Son of God. When you're in the fire of a tribulation, Jesus is right there in the middle with you. And in verse 28, they come out of the fire and Nebuchadnezzar blesses God. Another quick example of faith. This time in Daniel chapter 6, instead of having to pray to a gold image, this time you're not allowed to pray. If we catch you praying when you go home, we're going to throw you in with the lions. And what are you going to do if somebody tells you that? Are you going to be anxious? Oh man, I better lock all my doors, shut all my windows. That would be scary if that actually happened. This actually does happen to Daniel. What does Daniel do in Daniel chapter 6? Daniel goes home and he opens all his windows so that they can see him praying. You talk about a statement. And they say, is that guy praying in there? Yeah, we got you, come with us. And they throw him in, and Daniel knew that God would protect him. And it says the king rushed to see how Daniel was the next day, and Daniel says, God has shut the mouth of the lions. And in verse 23, it says the king was exceedingly glad, and no hurt was done to Daniel. Why? Because he believed in God. That's something that I do need to work on, and hopefully all of us get better at it. Would you like one more example really quick? These are kind of fun, aren't they? We all know the story of David and Goliath. If you're a young lad going up against a giant, that's going to be a scary situation. Are you going to be anxious? And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Brothers and sisters, we face our battles in the name of the Lord of hosts, don't we? This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David. And David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. What a visual that is. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. So this is another tremendous example of when you're in a scary situation, you do it in the name of the Lord of hosts and you prevail. So we're just about done here. Another one of our very favorite passages. Matthew 8, verse 23. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. We were really excited when we found this picture, because isn't that the visual you get when it says the ship was covered with the waves? And you relate this as a metaphor to your own life. You have leukemia, or you have COVID, or you lose your job, or pick whatever you want. And it seems like a big storm that's covering the ship. And all too often, I say the same thing, Lord, save me, I'm dying. What am I going to do? Lord, save me. And what does Jesus say in return? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? This is what God says to me anytime I'm at my breaking point. And this is what God says to you too. Why are you fearful? And then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. We looked this word great up in the Greek. There was a mega calm. So it's almost like there was a hurricane and then bam! There's not even a ripple. And the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" God, whenever he wants to, can snap his fingers or say one word, and bam, all your troubles are gone. This brings us to our final verse. One that's definitely helped me out a lot. I had a keychain that said this, and whenever my dad went into the hospital, which was a lot, I'd bring this keychain in. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The point is, we get scared because we take our eyes off of God, and we don't have to be because God is always right next to us. And if you're like me, you go home, you say, a sermon was encouraging. You go home and you get distracted if you're like me. It doesn't do you any good to sit here and say, yeah, these are some good ideas, and then go home and forget it. That doesn't do you any good to sit here and nod your head. You have to practice every single day, every single hour that you get the chance. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What an amazing Savior we have. At this time, if you would like to put the Lord on in baptism, or if you would like prayers of the saints, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the invitation?